Welcome back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth, as always, is hosted by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service, which is kind of a fast mouthful. How about, I'll slow down, Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. We're always actively involved in the purchase and sale of all forms of precious metals, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds, etc. And investment portfolios are our specialty. We do have a ton of experience buying and selling coins. I think it'd blow your mind. I mean, we've literally bought and sold many hundreds of millions of dollars in coins. We've seen it all. I remember back in the 90s, and I used to see this guy that went to prison. Really good example, right? I used to see him run these ads that say, "We'd seen it all." And I remember thinking, what in the heck? Well, he's actually, now that I've been around the block a little while, I kind of get it. It's like I'm sort of in that category now. I've seen it all. I mean, I've truly seen it all. I mean, I really haven't seen it all, but you know what I mean. I have actually bought and sold and seen so much stuff over the years that you get pretty darn good at it. Foreign coins will throw you now and then. Overall, I think that's probably the biggest challenge is, but a lot of them, the majority of them aren't worth, you know, jack diddly. That's a term that you probably don't get to hear every day. Congratulations for that. But in general, we've just been here doing this a long, long time. And I was doing a lot of thinking, you know, of course I'm driving in. I'm I got in a little fender bender about 6 weeks ago. I used Gerber Auto Body. I had two body shop experiences with Gerber out in Coeur d'Alene in a row. And let's just say I would not recommend them. The number of problems they caused were uncountable, insurmountable. It's just a stat, you know, they put cars back out on the road that are not ready to go. Or they don't know what they're doing or what I don't know for sure. And so I get mine back, you know, of all the problems that I'm experiencing. One of them is that my Sirius satellite radio won't work. And so I call Sirius XM. And they say, well, that number's not registered to you. Basically, that goes to a completely different car. It's never been in your car. Blah, blah, blah. It's a different year. You know, who knows? I don't even know. You know, so I spent all this time on the phone, you know, and I've got it off of Bluetooth. The guy wants me off of Bluetooth. And so I got some other guy in a truck van driving down the highway next to me flipping me off because I'm on my phone. And I got to do all this on the way to the radio show. And it just makes for a lot of fun and all that kind of stuff. But I have had more troubles with Gerber and Sirius XM. We have, like, so many XM accounts. And it's really weird. I don't even know why I have XM, to be honest with you. I do listen to Joel Osteen. The thing I've learned with Joel Osteen is, you know, he is good. He's really positive. He doesn't nail scripture like as much as I'd like. And he charges. Like people go to his website and he's got just a handful, maybe more than a handful, whatever that means. He's got a set of prior sermons that he'll let you listen to. And the rest of them, I mean, they have, like, donate now And the first number that pops up on the screen is $125. It's like, yeah, I want to listen to one of your sermons, and I'm willing to pay $125 to do it when podcasts are so popular. And I think, you know, he's good. He's very positive. I think people take him wrong. And if you haven't figured out, you know, I got my good old throat thing that I'm so well known for. I think it's just good old-fashioned allergies. But anyway, he's, you know, who's going to pay that kind of money? I don't know. You know, it's sad. It's sad because you are spreading the word of God. And charging for the word of God is kind of a bad thing. It doesn't fit within my moral standards at all. I don't think you should be charging for messages. I think that we have so much going on in this world. You know, I was thinking as I was driving in, believe it or not, actually earlier today, I was thinking of all of the news highlights. I don't even know where to begin, okay? The news highlights from 20, what year has this been? 18. I mean, I've lost it, folks. I'm old. 2018 is like, what? Is what? You know, it's over. I mean, I remember 1988 and 89 and 94 and 5 were big years for me. And it's just interesting that we are officially, we're sitting at the end of another year. We've got a new year coming, and we make an issue out of New Year's. Maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't. But it's a turning point. It's a point at which people tend to draw lines in the sand and say, okay, I want to do new things. And you know, I hope that you had a great 2018. Mine was hands down the most challenging year of my life. We went through a huge move. It's been really weird how God will give you. I say God will answer your prayers, but be careful what you pray for. We got where we had it. Just this big, beautiful home on the water. You know, the taxes were horrendous. I actually let myself go a little bit where I should have been paying off debt. I had a line of credit, and I went and I got some cars that I shouldn't have. And I just kind of put myself in a position that wasn't anything I'd recommend anybody do. And then we finally decided to sell it and take a bunch of the equity and get rid of the debt. And so we went through this, you know, traumatic move. I mean, huge move. Our houses are huge. We ended up buying a second house that was almost as big as the first, which wasn't what we planned. The style of the second house is definitely not totally my style. It's very, I don't know, formal, elegant. The lady that had it, we've had to change the carpets and paint, and we're trying as fast as we can, you know. The house is like, you know, lime green carpet, lime green drapes, purple painted dining room. And I mean purple. I'm talking deep, deep, deep purple. She called it eggplant. And, you know, that in the master bath has like pink tile everywhere. I know it sounds terrible. It sounds like a brothel, and it kind of is. So I'm kind of forced into this remodel that I do not want to do. I do not want to spend the money that I've saved up to remodel this house. I'm afraid because of the value and the area. I see houses just sit in Spokane. Spokane's a tough town to sell upper-end homes. It really is. And we were under time pressure. We had someone come and buy our house. They got a steal on it, I think. We took it because the next door neighbor had built this atrocious, horrendous, massive boathouse that utterly just devastated our view of the water. I mean, bad, like bad. And so we took, you know, the number, and then we went and bought a house that ended up on a bunch of acreage and got promised a tax credit for agricultural that's proving to maybe not have been completely true. And on and on you live and learn. It's just tough, you know. It's tough. It's tough. It's just the real world. And so I may end up with like a $27,000 tax bill in a couple of years that I got set up on, that they knew darn well what they were doing. You know, so anyway, you live and you learn. One of the morals of the story is it's hard to trust people, isn't it, to really know the truth of what is true. I mean, it's hard to know when people are telling you the truth or when they're just lying to themselves. Or I should say lying to improve themselves. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was released from the hospital recently. That is very profound. She's 85. She's on the Supreme Court. And as long as Trump's in office, if she fractured three ribs and she's got some kind of cancer, I think. And I don't know all the details, but I know that if Trump replaces her, he will be the most influential president in the history, at least in modern history, in the United States, since FDR for sure. And, I think there's a possibility he may. I really do. I think that he may. I don't know. I just think that it's really interesting to watch Trump's behavior. I've spoken since the very beginning that his name, Trump, means final overriding factor or resource. Okay? So... Once I learned that, my first response was, oh, he's going to win. Okay, and which was correct. And then my second response was, okay, well, he's going to turn everything around, and if everybody turns to him, they'll get things straightened out. And then I started to realize, I was just thinking the other day, overall, you know, there's people that are real pleased, but in a spiritual sense, he's not the greatest. He's spending more money faster than any president before him ever has. Okay, number one, which is a huge thing. I mean, it's just racking up debt at a pace you can't even fathom. Okay, you can't even rationalize the numbers. Every one of us, every single citizen in the United States of America, man, woman, or child, owes over $1 million now. And he's racking it up. And the second thing is his mouth. You know, the Bible is very clear about our speech. You know, the Bible tells us, talks a lot about being edifying. It talks a lot about speech. And it talks, you know, you think where it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And, you know, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each other or answer each person. Now, we're all human beings. We're not going to be perfect. No way. Okay. Matthew. Now, I like this verse because if you really meditate on this next verse, it's very profound. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person. Now, that's powerful stuff. Why? Why is that powerful? Because the Jews had spent all this time building the Torah, law upon law upon rule upon rule upon what you can do and what you can say and what you can eat and when you can eat it and how you can eat it and how you worship the Sabbath. And it was just a stack that just kept going on and on and on. Christ comes and goes, you know, all that work that you're putting in to what you're putting in your mouth means nothing. Who you are is what's coming out of your mouth. And folks, we need to watch that, don't we? I mean, when we have our bad days, how do we talk? I've had recent experiences. I've had a lot of experiences over the years. I do a lot of business, I guess, construction and whatnot. And I've had a lot of experiences with Christians that are just, you know, there's a line, okay? First of all, there's just pure vulgarity, okay? There's just vile filth that is very frustrating. Speaking about other people a certain way, speaking about women a certain way, and of all things, using the Lord's name in vain. Now, I will tell you that you're supposed to let your speech be wholesome and all that. But I'll tell you what, straight up. I grew up in Montana in a rough environment. I've heard it all. But I'll tell you the one, the Lord's name in vain. And I've struggled with that over the years, using the JC term. Oh, gee, JC, when something happens. And what's really weird about it is it isn't, to me, where my struggle comes in is that I try to have a constant dialogue with Jesus throughout the day, like the Bible says, you know, pray without ceasing. And then when something happens, I'm so used to consistently speaking. Nice excuse, right? But I'm so used to using his name, like, Lord Jesus, you know, help me here, and thank you, Jesus, for this, and praise God, and Jesus, you know, I pray unceasingly, and I'm definitely not, you know, the holiest of holies, but it contributes once in a while, I think, to my occasional, you know, misspokenness, we'll call it, or whatever, I don't know, vulgarity, whatever. And I think you have to be careful about that. Why? Well, think about it. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. So that's tough because I do pray a lot to God. I pray a lot to God. And this year was just, this year was such a tough year for me. I really need to get on the radio and whine like a baby. I was so close to my dad, and it had so much to do with coins, and I love coins. Folks, if you even had a clue how much I loved coins, you would not even believe it. I love them so much, and I enjoy them so much, and they really have proven to be such a terrific investment. You go to what's called the... I'll look it up here. It's the PCGS Investment Index. And I'll see if I can find it here real quick. It's pretty mind-boggling, the performance over time. PCGS is the professional coin grading service. They have what's called the 3000 index. And what that means is they've actually taken 3000 coins that they believe are maybe good representations of the market and everything like that. And if you, you know, you look at a chart from 1970 till now, you know, it's been busy. We'll put it that way. It's been up and down, but it's been up overall. And there's a number of other index charts that they have, and they've performed pretty well. The last 10 years, guess what? Numismatic coins have not done incredibly well. Now, I wish I could sit here and tell you otherwise. People hear that and they run, right? Is that the time to buy or sell? Folks, I'm telling you right now, you are sitting in a primo time to buy metals and coins. You are literally sitting at a primo time. It doesn't get better than this. It really does not. The value's there. One thing the coin market does is it culls itself out. What do I mean by that? I mean, junk becomes junk. When the market was just roaring back in the mid to late 0-100, you know, 2005, 6, 7, I mean, trash, junk, garbage was selling on eBay for way too much. And we get people that come in with collections. I had a guy one time who had called and talked to an employee, and it was my fault because I didn't talk to the customer directly. And he said, oh, I have all these coins. I have these complete sets of everything, you know. And I did briefly talk to the guy. I said, so you got complete sets of everything? Yep. And you want to sell? Yep. So I drove clear down and way down into Idaho, you know, and ended up being there till all hours of the night. Well, he did. He had a complete set of everything. But what he'd done is he'd gone on eBay and he'd bargain hunted, okay? He bought the cheapest example. He overlooked problems. He didn't know coins, and he didn't do that well. And I'll tell you, folks, there's a reason why you want somebody like Coins Plus to help you build a portfolio. That reason is that you can go anywhere at any time and liquidate that, and you can actually take it to the next level. And the next level is where people are see what you have and they, I'm sorry to use the word, but they covet it or lust it. Dealers, they'll be like, oh my gosh, you've got one of those. I want that, you know. Dealers are your biggest collectors. They're the ones that hold the market together. And we really have some unbelievably phenomenal stuff, folks. I cannot even tell you. I have got, hands down, probably the finest selection of Morgan silver dollars, of quality Morgan silver dollars I've had in my entire career or life, okay? Now, what does that mean? I have been in business 25 years. I have moved in just in Morgan silver dollars, I don't even know, 10 million, 20 million, dollar-wise. I don't even know. It's so much. I've been a specialist in them for so long. And I have a ton of certified coins. And what does certification mean? It means that an independent third-party grading service has looked at them. They've graded them. They've put them in a tamper-proof airtight holder. Then I've sent them to this other service, which is, it's kind of a hassle, but the other service is called CAC, C-A-C, Certified Acceptance Corp. Then they look at the coin and they say, this is a really nice coin for the grade. Okay. So I have like this slew. I think I've used the word slew before and sat here and said, what does it mean? I don't know for sure, but it's a lot. I have a slew of Carson City Morgan silver dollars that are certified by the major grading services. And then they have this CAC sticker on them, which say, okay, so you've got phenomenal Carson City silver dollars. Morgan dollars are the number one collectible in the world. Carson Cities are the number one collectible Morgan silver dollar. They're the most famous coin in the world. Hands down, bar none. Carson City silver dollars. So I've got all these coins that are certified, and then they have CAC stickers on them, which means these are the nicest quality you can get, just really premium, premium coins. Superb, phenomenal, incredible coins. We've got them. I would say if there's somebody sitting out there with a chunk of dough who is just trying to figure out what to do, okay? Now, the way I look at it is, yes, I have a chunk of dough too. And I believe, I actually take my own medicine. I follow my own advice. I buy what I tell you to buy. I'm telling you, if you have a savings or something, folks, take care of yourself. Get into some of these. If you don't want, some people are like, I don't want all my money in this numismatic collectible stuff. Then don't do it. Don't, you know, get some. Get gold and silver-based investments. You know, we've talked about the Bible, you know, precious metals-based assets, okay? They are the firm foundation of monetary history, never to change. All the way from the beginning of Genesis chapter 2, which every time I say it, it blows my mind, that God would take the time to go through the entire creation. And the very next thing is he's talking about gold and where to get it. I mean, there's some cool stuff to do with gold. Now, when you say gold or silver, you think, oh, it's this bullion or that. No, it's a sector, okay? And I hate to use the comparison, but it's like stock. If I say, oh, you know, the stock market, or when I say the stock market, really what you think of, and you don't know it, is you think of the Dow Jones, because it's 30 stocks out of millions. So how's the market doing? Is really people saying to each other, how's the Dow? How are those 30 stocks doing? Well, that is an absolute deception. They're indexes. The indexes are false. They're fake. They use a 200-day moving average. They remove and replace stocks. It's a big deception. But it is representative of the entire market. People don't realize that. Now, that can be a negative comparative, because the point I'm trying to make is, if I say gold or silver, I mean a whole industry, a whole sector. I am talking to you about the whole balance. And do I believe in a balanced portfolio? Absolutely, within what we do. Do I believe that what we sell is a great investment? Yes. Is the value there right now probably better than it's ever been? Yes. Okay. And now we've got these incredible grading services. I hate them. They cost money. They take your coins forever to get back. They're very expensive, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, you have a coin that is encapsulated by a third-party professional grading service that is absolutely liquid. Not to mention, it preserves the quality of the coin. In the olden days, they'd keep coins in these really cool old holders that were, you know, albums that, you know, that had the old paper. And the old paper had sulfur, and they would tarnish, or the term we use is tone. And in some cases, the toning is just beautiful. I love old, what I call original toning. I love it, okay? But, you know, over time, they tarnish, and people don't like that, and they, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's now they have these, you know, airtight, airlock, tamper-proof holders, and, you know, they're waterproof for the most part, and so on and so forth. So, you know, anyway, we've got an incredible selection, folks. Another thing I want you to really think about, if any of you, and I've spoken to a number of you, 401ks and IRAs, right now, listen to me closely, please. This is the ultimate opportunity for you to pull your money out of your 401k or IRA. Out. Why would you want your money out? because you buy the gold and you buy the silver and whatever you want. First of all, 401ks and IRAs tell you what you can and can't have. And there's a heck of a lot more that they say you can't have than what you can. But the other reason is that as you own this product and it goes up over time, you have now left the radar screen. It is yours. It is anonymous. It's transportable. It's immediately liquid, you know, completely confidential, very compact, very transportable. Okay. And it will go up. It does go up. I will tell you, I liquidated my 401k or IRA. See, people get confused. They say, well, that's an IRA. That's a 401k. Here's the deal. IRA means independent retirement account. Independent retirement account is what an IRA is. It's a huge umbrella. Okay. What it means is that you have a retirement account with an that falls under this huge category. A 401k is one of the types of investments that you can have under the IRA umbrella. All that means is it's a pre-tax investment. The concept is that you, whether you work for an employer or you're self-employed, you save money before you pay tax. Now that sounds neat. So if you earn, if you can put $10,000 into your IRA or 401k or whatever, the concept is you earned $10,000 and instead of paying the 20% tax on it first and then investing it, you put the full $10,000 in. The problem with that is, guess what? You will pay tax on that. And the big problem, and I was talking to someone this week who knows their stuff about it, and he gets it. He's got a business, a promotional business, music promotion, global, doing very well. And his main question is like, this is a scam. He's like, they make you think it's so cool that you can put this money in before tax. But he's like, I put $10,000 in and I buy your recommended investments in metals, which is what's really cool is you're buying gold and silver, but you're buying gold and silver that has numismatic, not only numismatic value, numismatic potential, growth potential based on rarity, et cetera, et cetera. So he's had these items that have literally gone up tenfold over the last, say, 15 years. So if he's put in $10,000, now he has $100,000. He's going to have to pay an income tax on the entire $100,000. What I've done, what my relatives and close friends that listen to me do, what our good customers that listen to me do, they take it out right now in the beginning of January. Primo, primo, primo time, okay? Because what happens is, for example, I've used my parents before as an example, but, you know, I don't know what, 10 years ago or whatever it was, we took all their money out and we put it into we just put it in a safe deposit box. We left the system, okay? Then what happened? Their $275 gold went, you know, of course, at one point to 2,000, and now it's 1,200 and some bucks. And their, you know, their $3.50 silver, it went up to 50, and it's still, you know, 17 or whatever. But we also put items in there that really grew based on their rarity because they fell under both categories, and they are able to remove money from there to live on without a 1099. A 1099B is a 1099 broker form. That is a form that the investment broker gives you that goes to the IRS that says this person just realized this amount of income and therefore they owe taxes. Okay? So when you do your 401ks and your IRAs and you think you're doing so neat because you're saving before tax, you will pay tax on every penny of that. What's even worse, Well, once you get 70 and a half, you've got to take out a certain percentage of it. What's even worse, that people think they'll you know, get to a point in life where they're getting Social Security and Medicare, whatever, and they'll have money saved and they'll be living pretty good. And they let this 401k sit there because they don't want to pay the tax on it. So guess what happens? The minute they die, instantly, as of the moment they die, the value of that account is realized. The value of that account is assigned of a number. And you, the estate, owes taxes at full throttle on that amount. So if you save $10,000 a year, just say you did that for 30 years and you got, and that's 300 grand. And then say it went up, say you have been toying with precious metals based assets. And I say based assets because we've got so many cool things. You don't just buy, I mean, you can buy gold bullion. Yeah, we do it all the time, but you can buy, you know, 1908 West Point mint proof buffaloes that are, you know, to the IRA company are technically bullion, but they're super rare and they go up in value and up and up and up and up and up. Well, unfortunately, the IRA companies, some of them are catching on and they're learning the value of these and whatnot, but they issue the estate an instantaneous tax burden. So if you inherited $500,000 in an IRA or 401k, you owe that money now. And the other problem is you owe it at that high bracket. See, as more and more money builds up, you move up the tax bracket ladder. So all of a sudden, you could be making $45,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year, and after you do a little write off and this and that, your tax rate may only be 10% or whatever it is. But when you pass away, your estate gets it all hammered, boom, and 40%. They got to pay 40% right now. So they pull it out. What's worse is attorneys. I mean, there's an estate attorney here in town. Well, I've got a great friend who's a terrific attorney, but he's not a believer. Okay, I've worked with this guy for 20 years. He's got total integrity. It's just a relationship I've built, and I do try to work with believers, but in this case, I'm not. Okay, so he kept telling me this story about this guy, this tax attorney who was turning people's lives upside down, and by seizing up their assets and you know, creating all this bureaucratic regulation and just freezing it up. Well, I found out later this guy is a quote unquote Christian elder in a church. And I always wondered, his kids were always super involved in athletics. I mean, all of them. He didn't miss a game. He never, they traveled, he did everything. They spent the summers at Priest, and they snow skied, and they did all this. And he actually condemned me one time for basically being a bad father because I would be working while my kids were involved in these activities. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I cannot afford to not work. And I could never figure it out. Well, I was with, in a building with this attorney, who's my non-believing attorney, and we ran into this other guy, and I shook this other guy's hand and said, "Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. I know the guy's son. It happened to be his son's birthday. I said, hey, wish Joe a happy birthday," and the dad was blown away that I knew the day, and et cetera, et cetera. And the other attorney, the non-believing attorney, now remember, we have to be a witness on this earth. The non-believing attorney goes, "That's the guy." And I go, "What guy?" He goes, "That's the guy I've been telling you about that takes these people's estates and ties them up and freezes them up and literally takes years and years and years to let him get at the money. And in the meantime, he takes half or more, okay? So what this guy was doing was freezing up people's estates and going to all of his kids' sporting events and water skiing and snow skiing and doing all these fun things while he was stealing people's estate money. What's my point? My point is that if you have an estate that's worth a hoot, and attorneys get a hold of them, you got a problem. Now, if you've got your money in metals, any form, coins, you know, collectible coins, whatever, in a private, especially in a private depository service like ours, which is, by the way, the highest rated privately held depository service in the Western region. Folks, this building, again, was built from the ground up for security. This isn't, you know, we put in the top of the line, better safes, better vaults, a whole better system than any bank, any recent bank. I'm not going to tell you that we've got a better vault system than Zurich, Switzerland, or, you know, or even some of these old banks that built their vaults in the 1800s are probably way better. But I've got a vault system that is second to none. No one's ever allowed there unaccompanied ever. And it's 24/7 motion surveillance. You know, we've got class two vault, which is the equivalent of 36 inches of poured concrete, full of steel, filled with all this tool-destroying material that grabs drill bits and saw blades and destroys them. And that is wrapped in one-inch thick T1 tool-resistant plate steel that I was so fortunate to get a hold of when they were tearing down an 1882 building out of Seattle when I built my building. And, you know, and that's in a corridor that's wrapped in 1 3/8 inch thick bullet and bomb resistive Kevlar, 800 pound bomb proof doors. Whenever you see windows in this building, what appear to be windows, they're 3/8 or not 3/8 class three bullet and bomb resistive polycarbonate, and on I could go. And every single one of our safe deposit boxes is an individual safe. They're not, it's not a bunch of tin junk like I see in a lot of these banks, especially the new credit unions and things like that. So if you have your money secured that way and you take it out, there's no reporting. And we intentionally sell you product that does not require 1099 reporting. So it's something I'd highly recommend. Now, what's even better, okay, is what's coming up is primo, okay? Why? If you remove, if you go to your 401k or IRA and you cash it out in January, just cash it out. We call it a roll out. There's a roll over and a roll out, okay? We roll over 401ks and IRAs almost every day, all the time. What does that mean? That means that somebody's got their money at Fidelity, or, you know, maybe you worked for the hospital or the school system or whatever, and you've got your money where they told you you had to have it. And they give you, if you work for the government, you have a choice of like seven different options or five, and one's supposed to be more conservative. And every single person who's got these is losing their tails. It's sad. I'm sorry. The market's supposed to be the best it's ever been. Never, ever better. And I'll tell you what, if you look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average Index chart, can you say train wreck? It is all over the place. It is up. It is down. We're down to 22,000. We were up to 26,000 just in the last, what, month or two. It is all over. Folks, I'm telling you, be aware. Please be aware. Please. Please be aware. Okay? Over the last 5 years, we've gone from 15,000 all the way to like 28,000 down to 22,000. It's a train wreck. It's not a solid market. Every single time throughout history, it's behaved like this. It ends in a traumatic crash. The only thing that's crazy is we have seen the worst performance ever in the stock market. We have set records, folks, where we've had like the worst week since February of, 1928. And we've had the worst two quarters in a row and just on and on. Just terrible, terrible performance. And it doesn't hurt anything, really. Now, obviously, it hurts your investment. But in general, it's not like the quote-unquote crash of 08, which was caused by the housing bubble, which was obvious. I had got, I was in the mortgage business in the 90s when it was nuts. Anybody, and I mean anybody, could get a mortgage. It was so bad when people would get to a point where they were going to give their house up for repossession. As a regional manager, I would get a hold of them and say, can you hang on for 6 months? Well, why would I ask him to hang on for 6 months? Because the market was so out of control. Over the next 6 months, the value of the home would go up so much that it would bail them out of their problem. I had a lady here in Post Falls. I had many, many, many. But there's one that stands out, clear as a bell. I mean, this gal was destitute. Her husband had left her. She had a house. I don't even remember the value of the home. And she was not taking care of it. The yard was trash. It was bad. And I went to see her because she hadn't been paying us. And I really always had a heart for the Lord, and I wanted to help people out. And I went and saw her, and I said, ma'am, is there any way that you could find a way to borrow money from some relatives or something and make it 6 months? Because she wanted to give us the house back. I'll tell you what, for example, a builder, was asking me for an investment loan one time a while ago. And he's like, well, geez, it's not that hard. All you got to do is write a check and you'll have the collateral of the home. Now, when you get some builder that doesn't know what he's doing, which this guy turned out to be a train wreck, he ended up bankrupting himself and everybody around him. When you repossess a home like that, that's just in shambles in the middle of a project that's being done by somebody who's completely incompetent, no, it's not liquid cash at all. It's a nightmare, okay? So that's not the answer. So this gal waited 6 months. I don't know where she got the money. She borrowed it from a relative or something. And guess what? 6 months. Now, we are talking back in the 90s. But this is what the market did. In 6 months, she sold her house for $50,000 more than she owed on it. She was ready to give us the house back just about 6 or 7 months earlier. And the market went up that much. Okay. So the bubble was crazy. The bubble was crazy. So right now, what bubble do we have? What asset bubble do we have? None. The only bubble that we've got right now, folks, is debt. We've got a debt bubble that is second to none. Okay? We've got over $1 trillion owed in credit card debt. We've got over $1 trillion owed in student loan debt. We've got, I don't even know off the top of my head the number that's owed on mortgages, but you can imagine how bad that is. We've got this, people are jumping into, get rich quick schemes, cryptocurrency. The total market value of cryptocurrency has fallen by $700 billion. $700 billion. Think of that. With Bitcoin falling to 3,700 from 20,000 in December. That means that people lost 85% of their money in, however many months. I don't know about you, but that's pretty bad. That is not a good day, right? The retire early people, they want to see money fast, okay? What I tell you is you save brick by brick. You save solid assets. Folks, it's the only biblical way. Everything God does, everything God tells us to do in the Bible is firm and solid. Now, if he chooses to bless your socks off, then praise God. That's the problem with socialism. The fact of the matter is God will bless one and he'll take from another. I'm sorry, but that's just the way he works. I don't know why. None of us know why. Look at Job. We don't know why. But the bottom line is, and then the government, socialism, which is a really soft term for communism, Karl Marx called it communism. We've come up with a social, democratic socialism and all this garbage. All it is taking the wealthy, the productive of society, those that are working and producing and making them pay for other people. The thing that's the scam of scams is if a guy happens to have a business and make $500,000 a year, now that's a lot of money, right? And you live on 70 grand a year and you're saying, well, I live fine on 70 grand a year. Why does that guy need 500,000 a year? And so it's okay to take 200,000 of his 500,000. He still leaves him 300,000. But that is not at all the way America was established. America was established where direct taxation, your taxation of your ability to produce an income, was called slavery. They knew that it was a God-given blessing, a God-given right, a God-given skill. Okay. Now, consumption taxes are a little bit different. You decide to, you earn the money, you sit on it, you decide to spend it. They want a little piece of it. Great. We've got to pay. You know, people will say, well, there's a balance. Well, there is a balance. The balance is our government is supposed to teeter right on the brink of anarchy, right on the brink, so that at any given point in time, it's just right there, ready to go. That is all the control the government has. The rest of it is out of control. You look at this $10,000 cash law that was created under the RICO Act of 1934. A comment was made back then that if someone has enough money to buy a palatial estate, the government has a right to know. No, the government doesn't have a right to know. But the point was that back then, $10,000 is $1 million today. Since the creation of the Fed in 1913, we have seen an absolute loss of 99.5% of the spending power of the U.S. dollar. It has absolutely collapsed. Now, precious metals have gone directly contrary to that. People say, look at the Dow over that period of time. The Dow. No, you can't look at the Dow because not one stock that was in the Dow in 1934 is there today. Every one of them has been removed and replaced. But if you have gold or silver, it's still gold and silver. And all along the time, you've always been able to liquidate it. Now, sure, they had the period of confiscation, which was really the government buying back your precious metals, gold, at a ripoff level, and then driving the price through the roof so they can make a big profit and make you take a big loss. But there were coins that were exempt. Pre-1933 dated legal tender coins have never been confiscated, bought back, or anything because they're legal tender. And we're probably one of the only countries in the history of the world that's never obsoleted its currency. Our currency has stayed strong. But then we did the, not Braxton Hicks, that's the people, women that... I've been pregnant. Know that term doesn't apply. The Bland-Allison Act. No, that was 1878. Oh, come on. What was it? Oh, anyway. So there was an act in the Bretton Woods Act in 1946 after World War II, where we forced everybody to use the dollar as the new gold standard. So the oil bourse, oil was traded in dollars. Dollars became the gold standard. Okay, we force this on people. Saddam was going to fight it. He said, no, I won't use it. He controlled a lot of oil. What'd we do? We absolutely, I mean, there's people I know that were in Iraq watching them intentionally burn oil fields and intentionally destroy the Iraqi dinar just to destroy Saddam Hussein because he wouldn't play by the rules. Money makes the world go round. It's a dirty system, and it gets deep, and it gets heavy, and it's not good. But bottom line is this. If you take your money out now in January, if you take it out of your 401k or IRA, you have 16 months to pay taxes. If you take it out in January, you will owe taxes. Okay, so January in 2019, you will owe your taxes in April of 2020, 16 months. Now, you tell me with what's going on. Are precious metals going up or are they going down over that period of time? Folks, hands down, bar none, no questions asked, you talk to any financial expert, metals are poised to explode. The market's coming back hard and strong. So if you take your money out, then you will kill it. You will kill it good. So please give it strong consideration. Call us up at Coins Plus 444-0044. Say, talk to us about rollovers and rollouts, and we'll help you out. You want to talk to me, leave a message. I'll be able to call you back late, unfortunately, in the evenings. If you're not available at 8 o'clock at night, that's the only time I can really talk to you because I have to wait till all my employees leave because I have to take care of them. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff going on right now. Like I said, we've got this insane inventory. We've been so blessed and so fortunate. Okay. So we've got to be prepared. We've got to be prepared. Now, here's a quick jump. I don't have time. Google reviews. Give us a 5-star Google review. Call us, prove it. We'll give you a free silver dollar. You know what? Happy New Year is right around the corner. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. God bless. I love you. Bye-bye.